You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio. Disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander. I'm the State Director of AARP North Carolina, and we've got a great program for you today, folks. Entertainer for the ages, David Gwilt, is back with us to continue our conversation. This time, we're going to be talking about dealing with social isolation, what it is, how to recognize it, and how to help combat it. But first, ladies and gentlemen, my partner in crime and esteemed production engineer is here as always, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. I have taken my Claritin. I'm feeling good, allergy-free.
Tis the time. Yeah, you know what? I had my first whiff of allergies last week. In fact, I think it was after we did the show because I was in D.C. last week, recorded the show. And as soon as I left, I said, you know, I'm really not feeling 100%. And next day was completely fine after a little bit of that Claritin stuff, right? It just clears you right up at this time
That's
of year.
That's right. A little bit and you're good to go.
Yeah, which is really good because you can get scared, especially after traveling. You know, you're thinking, oh, geez, I caught something. And we've not had a good year when it comes to flu season and COVID and others, right? It's been quite a year for that stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're okay because a lot of people make that mistake this time of year. They think, oh, it's just the pollen, just the allergies. But no, they've gotten sick and happened to infect a few other people.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're here. We're healthy. Happy to be here. Really glad that David is back with us to continue our conversation. A different topic this time, though. We'll be talking about social isolation. And just so you know, Jason, I was texting with David before the show earlier today. He sent me an article related to cars, and it was a link to the new Dodge Challenger EV that's coming out this year. And with a little note on there, you know, you're going to get one of these, and this kind of a, just so you know where this comes from, is back when I moved to Charlotte in 2013, not long after David and I got to meet and got to work together and become friends. And I used to zip around town in a 2011 Dodge Challenger SRT8. That was one of five Challengers I owned over the years. And that particular one stood out a little bit, not only because it had 470 horses at the time, which was kind of like top dog before the Hellcat, but it was a very unique, very bright green. Unique color called Green with Envy. Actually had two different types of flake in the paint, and it looked like it was electrified in the sunshine. And David used to affectionately refer to it as the Green Hornet, which was really nice. It's funny, a little fun fact. I had lunch with a volunteer this past weekend. Hadn't seen him in a while. And you know what he says to me? He goes, "You still have that ugly green car?" So not for everybody, but it was definitely a head turner. I had a lot of fun driving it, and 6.4 liters of what's up under the hood there was a lot of fun and a lot of great memories with my kids and stuff back then. But anyway, David sent me this article, and just wanted to share with you, Jason. We talk a lot about different issues here on AARP Without Limits, and a lot of things related to aging, and ultimately it comes down to change, right? What's changing? You know, as you're getting older, life changes. You're dealing with new situations, with new challenges. As we look at the political landscape, we see so much change, right? What's happened over the course of the last, you know, 8 years or so, tremendous amount of change. We see things like AI. Last year, you know, the big breakout year for AI, most people didn't know what it is. And we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg now when it comes to that mountain of change that that is right before us. And certainly things like, you know, EV vehicles and all this other type of stuff. Here we are, right? So I'm intrigued by this, not only because I'm a bit of a car guy, not as much as I used to be, but I you know was thinking as I was driving in today, you know, the change that this represents, and I'm still part of the message boards and stuff from the different car clubs I used to be, you know, more active with. And I have to say there's a whole lot of hate, a whole lot of anger and disappointment for this movement towards EVs when it comes to muscle cars. And you saw this initially, I think, with the Mustang, and the Dodge really kind of went overboard because, you know, the last 10 years, they were the brotherhood of muscle, you know, and these insanely entertaining car commercials, right, where you literally were seeing people like street racing and doing donuts and drifting around corners at night. And like, there were some really, really cool commercials and the type of stuff that just spoke to, you know, me and my generation, generations older, and saying, that's cool, I want one of those. And now going EV, and there are a lot of car enthusiasts out there who aren't too excited about it. But I have to say here, and this is coming from a guy here who, you know, I used to argue with people and saying, oh, if you got a V6, it's not a real muscle car. You need at least a V8. I'm actually telling folks, hold your judgment a little bit on this EV stuff, because this stuff, these things are little rocket ships. This link that David sent me here, and I've been reading about this, you know, this new charger that's coming out, you know, going to be like almost 700 horsepower, all electric, all wheel drive. So unlike these other V8 monsters we've had, that, you know, we got problems of the things actually sticking, all wheel drive, instant torque, you know, close to 700 plus pound feet of torque. And then on these things too, Jason, they have a boost button you're going to hit and be able to inject 40 more horses in a split second. This is insane. So yes, does it have the V8 rumble and, you know, the vibration and the great sound of the exhaust that the Hemis and these other motors have had over the years? No. But this stuff is going to be equally impressive. And I have a feeling that especially once folks learn how to hack into these things and really mess with the engineering and the power that these things are able to deliver, it's going to be an interesting time for sure. So, David, to answer your question as you sent me in that text, probably not. I'm not planning on jumping right in, but I'll tell you, I'm going to be watching, and it's going to be a very interesting time indeed. So, Jason, we have no shortage of talent here at AARP Without Limits, but I have to say today I'm having a little difficulty making a smooth transition from talking about muscle cars and EVs to social isolation. But you know what? We're going to do it for the first time ever right here, introducing back to the show our friend here, Mr. David Gwilt. David, welcome. Thanks for being back with us.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to be back here. And Jason, before we get into social isolation, what Michael did not mention was that I used to laugh about him having two child seats in the back of his hot green Hornet.
I love it.
That's right. Plenty of wheeze in the back seat for sure.
You got to keep the kids entertained.
Oh, they were. They were for sure. David, you cover a lot of topics that are important to older adults through your speaking, through your video podcasts and such. Social isolation is one of them. Now, you are a very personable and a very social person, not to mention a very handsome guy
as
well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I've got a face for radio.
Get plenty of attention. So I've got to ask, what prompted you to start learning about this issue of social isolation?
I really happened back in 2009 when I decided that I wanted to do a radio show for older adults. And so I went to graduate school at University of North Carolina at Charlotte to study gerontology. And through those studies and interacting with folks that were in that program, it became very evident to me that one of the big issues as we age is isolation, especially after loss of a job or loss of a loved one. People tend to keep to themselves, and society tends to kind of push older adults into the back room, if you will, once they're not out in the working world and their productivity, if you will, is diminished. They kind of get put by the wayside, and then they start tending to isolate.
It's interesting the way you put it that way, and it's intriguing how you got to thinking about this. And I just want to quickly mention here that, and this validates what you just said, my father recently said something to me that I really just found kind of very profound along the similar lines, which was, he said, you know, as you you get older, you stop working, you know, like all this change starts taking place and you become, as he put it, less noticeable. He said, you know, you're not working, so you're quote unquote less productive. You're less attractive, you're less sexy, you're less mobile, you're, you know, whatever. And as that happens, fewer and fewer people notice you, and there is a draw to yourself because, you know, you feel very, very much overlooked. So it's interesting to hear you put it that way. What are some of the effects of social isolation as we understand it?
Well, you know, the latest studies, there's been a lot of studies done since the pandemic to see what that impact has been in anxiety, depression, addictions, especially during the pandemic, of alcohol and illegal drugs, suicidal thoughts, and premature death is actually a reality for folks. Sometimes some scientists think as much as if you smoke cigarettes for 20 years, that when you start to isolate, you're not as alive, if you will, and your body almost starts to shut down. It's a mental and emotional thing. And you do actually start to wither away, both cognitively, physically, emotionally. So it's a triple effect, and it's all negative.
You know, it can be really, really troublesome, I think, for people to find themselves in a situation where they are becoming more withdrawn and so forth. David, in the last minutes or so before we get to a break, and we can continue this after the break, but for those who are living alone, what are some of the warning signs of isolation that they may be able to identify in themselves? Is that type of information available?
I think probably people are less aware for themselves, but for loved ones, if you're going in to see people, weight loss, folks that are continually canceling plans, you have plans to get together and all of a sudden they can't make it, lethargy, anxiety. They're worried about a lot of things going on in the world, which frankly, you know, most things that are going on in the world don't impact us directly, but they start to worry about world events more and start feeling like, you know, we're headed in the wrong direction globally. Those type of things, that all feeds into that social isolation.
It is fascinating and concerning for sure. When we return after this break, we're going to continue our conversation with David Gwilt. This is ARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is ARP Without Limits. Folks, just a reminder, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, feel free to send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with David Gwilt about the issue of social isolation. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about some things that social isolation was an issue that people became more aware during the pandemic. And of course, we all remember what that experience was like. Well, I hope most of us remember what that was like with the shutdown. You know, it was literally 4 years ago right now when we were all getting into that. And many people were broken off from families, from their jobs, being able to go out and enjoy a meal. So much was there. And a lot of people, I think, you know, a combination between that isolation, not being able to physically see people or interact with people, plus things like social media, things like micro-targeted entertainment. You know, Jason, I was talking with, and David, I was talking with a colleague recently who said that they will, you know, they go on Netflix and the recommendations that they get, you know, recommended for you, the stuff that pops up at the top of their feed is all stuff based upon their previous interest and what Netflix knows about you. And so they're getting all the same types of movies and documentaries and everything recommended all the time, and they're in a bubble. And he says, yeah, I've actually got to log in under my wife's name so I can get some different titles. And if you think about that, that isolates you, right? And we see that in our news feeds, the information that we get, the same type of thing. And then on and on this goes, our food choices, the cars that we're interested in, other products we like to buy, the services we need, and so on and so forth. And it has that effect I think, of further isolating us. David, could you speak a little bit more about the pandemic? For example, with you as an older adult living in Charlotte, what was your experience like during the pandemic? Did you experience anything that, you know, did you feel more isolated from others?
Well, during the pandemic, I was living on Lake Watery down in Winnsboro, South Carolina. So my house was actually 2 miles off the main road. So I was already isolated, but in a very serene situation. Now, I kept in touch with people by getting up to Charlotte a couple times a week to get together with friends. So I actually got out of the house and got on the road, and also with Zoom, which was a godsend, frankly, during the pandemic for anybody that wanted to connect with loved ones or just friends. And a lot of social groups, I think, sprung up on Zoom where people could connect that way because they couldn't get together in person.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things, and even right now, folks, as you all may not know, we're interviewing David via Zoom because he's down a few hours away from us up here in the studio, and so that connection is there. Aside from things like that, David, you know, one of the things that we like to talk about here at ARP Without Limits is solutions. And if somebody right now is listening and they think that they may be suffering with social isolation, what do the experts suggest that they do about it?
Number one, I would say get out of your head. You know, I don't know about other folks, but sometimes for me, staying in my head is a bad neighborhood. It's a bad place to be because I start thinking about, okay, you're 74, you know, you've got this medical issue and your IT band is hurting and oh, gee, poor me. And a good solution that experts along with everyday people are suggesting is call a friend, get on the phone, pick up your phone. And I say pick up your phone like it's still connected, you know, to a cord. So take your phone out of your pocket, if you will, and call somebody, take a walk, join in a group, explore interests. You know, my whole philosophy is until you're done, you're not done. There's no expiration date stamped on you anywhere. So what do you want to do? Do you want to write a book? Do you want to start a radio show like I did when I was 60? Do you want to start community theater or acting like I did when I was 60? I mean, what is it you want to do? But you've got to self-motivate yourself. You don't have a life coach coming into your house saying, okay, get dressed, take a shower, you know, get out there and do something. It really has to come from inside. So from my perspective, you either decide whether you're going to embrace life and embrace aging or you're done. And boy, to just say you're done when everyone has so much to still offer, I think is a crime.
You know, it's interesting the way you put it that way. And I'm reminded of a guest we had on the show back a year ago, Brian Van Buren, who is a volunteer I recruited when I was down in Charlotte with the AARP, who has gone on since to work with the Alzheimer's Association. He retired early. And those of you who are interested in hearing Brian's story, you can go on the archives at WPTF.com and see our show interviewing him back, I think it was from last April, March or April. And he was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, had to retire early. And as he put it, he literally got into bed for 3 months, barely could get out, and was, as he said, was literally waiting to die. And as it happened to be, he happened to get a postcard mailer from me saying, hey, find out how you can volunteer with the AARP, and that he wound up getting out of bed. And, you know, AARP actually didn't wind up being ultimately the answer for him. But that was a step to his next thing, which was to talk about Alzheimer's, and became a national spokesperson and flies around the country and gives talks.
Awesome.
And all that type of stuff, which is amazing. And so I saw one of the things I saw in looking at this issue this past week, David, is I know, you know, for folks, so many folks joining groups, like you said, get out, call a friend, but also, you know, joining organizations, volunteering, so important. Because you know, that connects not only, you know, a socialization, but also a purpose, right? And actually going out and doing something beyond yourself to help folks out. Because I think one of these things, and David, please let me know what you think about this, when folks are on this path or in this routine, in this cycle, like you say, you're in, kind of stuck inside your head, it's going to be pretty difficult to get out of it.
Yeah, it sure can be. And that's one of the things I think that AARP does best is offer a lot of opportunities to be a volunteer. I think being of service is one of the greatest things that I've ever done. And I do that with the presentations that I give. And it inspires me when I just did one a week and a half ago. And one of the best comments I got was from a woman who said, you know what? I laugh so hard and I'm going to be laughing the rest of the day after going to this presentation. Hmm. And what I heard from people is we really need more of this. We need people to talk about uplifting things rather than depressing things, because a lot of people, as you know, they're getting older and they're starting to think about, OK, what's coming next? You know, when I hit the end of that road, and they worry about all the crazy stuff that's going on in our world, unfortunately, and they don't laugh. They don't smile. They sit in that funk, if you will. And they really need to get out of that. And that's one of the things I hope to do. And if I can just put a plug in, if you want to go to my site, davidagwilt.com, it's a brand new website. It's up. My vlogs are on there. It's all about my presentations. And I'd be happy to come to Raleigh, even Michael, to do a presentation for a group there, if you know of anybody.
There's always such a need for that up here. And I also want to plug, you know, well, AARP.org has got a lot of resources and articles online for people who may be faced with social isolation in their own lives, or, as you mentioned earlier, David, recognizing it in somebody else. You know, like if you know a loved one and they're maybe losing weight and they're maybe depressed, not being motivated, breaking plans. Yeah, I'll be there. And then they don't show up, and that kind of becomes a pattern.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, United Way, and we've had United Way 311 on talk, NC 311 on here talking about the helpline that they have available, where, you know, you can call in most parts of the state and be connected, find out information about, you know, services that are available to you, but also to be able to find out about counselors and others who you can speak to help you work your way through this. David, you mentioned before theater. You found theater and all that when you were 60 years old. We're going to have you very intrigued with that personally to find out about that. I know you've, as you said, I know for you, and in some ways, life started or restarted for you at 60 years old. So definitely want to have back on the program to talk about that specifically.
All right. We can do that. Yeah. A lot of things happened once I turned 60, the radio show, the public speaking, the acting, the community theater, just being, you know, more involved in life and decided, okay, I'm not done. You know, I've got a lot more I want to do, and let's get started. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
It's a lot of fun, Michael.
And you and I became friends, David. That was there, too.
That was probably the highlight of this whole thing I turned 60. Absolutely.
The gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, that is a wrap. I want to thank David Gwilt for being our guest once again. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.